All right, folks, welcome to Nino's Corner.tv. I'm joined with Jamie Walden and John Pounders. We're going to be talking about Apophis, the asteroid Apophis 2029, and what that looks like. Is it a extermination event? Is it a depopulation event? I'm going to bring on Jamie Walden and John Pounders. Guys, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me. Jamie, you knocked it out of the park the last podcast we did. John, you always knock it out of the park. Everyone knows John Pounders from Pounders Quest. Jamie, where do people find you?
They can find me at omegadynamics.org and then just on YouTube under Jamie Walden as well, too.
All right, let's get into this because I've heard since way back in the day, I used to watch a Philip Schneider videos, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
He used to talk about the deep underground bases and the whole thing, you know, things of that nature, the conspiracies, which I do not believe any of them were conspiracies, but he did mention. And it wasn't fleetingly. He did mention very seriously about an asteroid projected to hit Earth in 2029 and that it was a mass-scale extinction event and that they're covering it up and they're not going to be talking about it until the last second is what he said, Philip Schneider himself. What are we really looking at here, Jamie? I know you're an expert in this field and you know a lot about this coming asteroid that's supposed to hit in 2029. What time? What month in 2029?
Yeah, currently is projected by the varying different space agencies, along with, you know, academia. A lot of the different universities have their own observatories and astronomy departments and things like that. So currently they have it projected to do a flyby. It's the asteroid Apophis or Apophis, but it's really Apophis, in its proper pronunciation, to come by on April 13th of 2029, and then also secondarily to come back around in 2032. And why this is prescient, by the way, I didn't know any about that, about Phil Schneider. I'd never heard that before till right now. That's radically fascinating because I know.
He was the one responsible for building all the deep underground bases.
All the deep underground military.
He was murdered. Yeah. They said he self-deleted, he was hung or whatever, but he talked about this a few times in his speaking engagements. And I always wondered, I was like, man, there is something there to this. And that was so long ago. It was in the early 2000s when I saw Philip Schneider's video. Well, fast forward today, we're just around the corner, man.
Yeah. Yeah, for real. And there's quite, I mean, it's very prescient and there's a lot of different things that if people aren't looking at the macro that they're going to miss. And that's kind of the worldview I'd mentioned on, when we were talking about the arch of Trump, that really the reality of all these, the micro data points that have been breaking out for almost the last decade can only really be understood through that lens of Apophis, or maybe not Apophis in particular, which has the high probability to be biblical wormwood, just depending on the timing and the 7 year time span of when it comes back around with regards to Revelation and the 3.5 year midpoint of the tribulation when wormwood, the great mountain of fire, is cast down in the sea. And then we get all these varying aspects of astrocatastrophism with the radical earth changes. This gets into your volcanism, your crustal plate displacement, your hyperheating of the atmosphere, which is mentioned all throughout the book of Revelations too, the searing of the heat, the thinning of the magnetosphere, the axial tilt and wobble of the earth, which again is mentioned biblically, how the earth will reel like a drunkard and sway like a hut in the wind. So heavy upon it is the guilt. This gets into the Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13, Book of Revelation, Jeremiah, Daniel. It's all these different aspects of the end of the age are actually all centered around the singularity of astrocatastrophism. As you look at the seals and more importantly into the trumpets and then the bowl judgments, you can check each box didactically, even from a secular scientific modality of what the scientific community says they would expect to see happen with a large, significant space body. And in particular, not the space body itself as if it's an Ellie, right? An extinction level event. I have a biblical worldview. That's the lens I'm speaking through. There is no extinction level event in the Bible. It's the Lord himself that destroys the earth and all the elements with the fire. Not some space body that planetary defense initiatives.
But could the Lord be using this space body to cause this catastrophe? I mean,
yes.
I mean, how absolutely. Would the Lord do it? I mean,
yeah, explain wormwood too, Jamie, because that's how he does it. But if you explain wormwood, because I mean, I would imagine probably, Nino, that maybe at least half your listeners probably have no idea what wormwood, the prophecy on wormwood in the Bible.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll give a quick breakdown and then I can kind of like just fire hose some data points. And even we talk real quick off the air. The only reason why I want to fire hose data points is so that people don't just dismiss this as hyperbole or sensationalistic or whatever clickbaity conspiratorial stuff. There has been a large scale global concerted effort of planetary defense strategies and initiatives and implementations that have been going on at a breakneck speed for a very long time because the scientific community, and then along with all the other different space-based agencies across the face of the earth, have locked onto this thing. They all know what's coming. So
hold on, wait a second, time out. So that makes sense on 3i Atlas. Because yes. Now they're preparing the defense, the military defense against this thing, and maybe that's the excuse they need to really prepare for this asteroid that's coming in 2029.
What do you want me just to break into that real quick, since that's kind of prescient?
Whatever,
so,
wherever you want.
Okay, I'll do a quick layout, right? Okay, so I got notes in front of me, so I don't say anything wrong, because the timing on all this stuff is unbelievably relevant. As soon as they locked onto Apophis, which I actually, didactically, they say in 2024, I actually believe it occurred in 1987 when President Ronald Reagan gave an address to the UN General Assembly. And I'm paraphrasing here. I have the notes in front of me, but just for brevity's sake, where he said, "I often wonder how quick all of our differences would go away if we, as a human species on the face of the earth, face an existential alien threat from outer space." From that point on, the entire globe has shifted, if anybody hasn't realized that. By the way, it was within several months of him making that announcement that he initiated Star Wars, the Star Wars program, which was the initial implementation of a planetary defense initiative. Okay, so now you start getting into all the predictive programming with Deep Impact, which was the governments of the world knew that this asteroid body was coming in and they didn't tell anybody to the last minute because of the human chaos factor. Then you get into the movie Armageddon predictive programming, where they're trying to figure out how to land things on an asteroid or a meteoroid to drill into it, to detonate it so that it'll break apart. Then you get in, you can go down the line of predictive programming, but besides the predictive programming aspects of it is the governmental things that transpired with that, in particular since the early 2000s. So what's interesting is when you look at there was a particular simulation that was held in New York City in May 2019 of an asteroid impact over the course of several years and how to respond to it. And once this finding came out, if you pay attention to this finding, everything broke out from there on out. It went from this finding of the simulation of asteroid impact into Event 201, into what became rolled into the consolidation of all forms of transport and manufacturing, consolidation of this and removal of that, consolidation of media outlets. And then it rolled into Trump initiating Space Force in 2019 as well. Standing up, you know, what now they're coining as a golden dome. But that's been in the works for a very long time. Also, the unification of all the different planetary defense strategies. And along with that, you had the rollout of but the ludicrous speed of modern monetary policy, which has spun into oblivion. And also the consolidation of, believe it or not, what can be coined as the transhumanism agenda, for a wide-scale genetic data bank to be created, along with a seed vault to be created, along with this amalgamation of all things genetic to be consolidated on a global level as well, too, along with all these multiple other different initiatives that are just now standing up. So this gets into even what they're saying with 3i Atlas currently. As of this week, they came out and specifically stated, New York Post has a thing, that space agencies are conducting the largest ever planetary defense drill with 3i Atlas approaching. So I posit that even one of the reasons for the standing up of ICE and this kind of this cover of immigration and the deployment and the mobilization of National Guard troops across the U.S. and the conscriptions going on across Europe and Asia and Eurasia is all because of this astrocatastrophism that all the governments of the world know is coming.
Which would explain why they built such elaborate bunkers underground and the elites are planning to go underground. Is this the reason why?
Yes, and not just that, but also off-Earth. So this gets into the concept of arcs and off-Earth arcs and how at this same time, after this simulation was ran in 2019, our entire collective global consciousness and unity of effort between science, tech, private, public partnerships and everything else got instantly galvanized. This is where you start seeing Starlink and all this other stuff being pushed out, this public-private partnership. This also gets into, and actually Sean Ryan's had a lot of these guys on his program, the standing up of Astroforge, which is exactly what Armageddon is based on, is off-Earth mining operations to drill into moving asteroids, quote-unquote, for rare earth metals. But at the same time, they are, you can go read, this is all white papers, you can read it. They're also using these public-private partnerships like Astroforge to see if they can drill into asteroids with these drone-based, space-based vehicles and detonate them to break them apart on impact. Why is that important? Because also in 2021, NASA all of a sudden out of nowhere launched their DART mission, which stands for Double Asteroid Redirection Test, wherein they slammed a piece of space junk, like a satellite, into an asteroid called Dimorphos to see if they could direct it off course as a test for an incoming asteroid that may threaten the longevity of humanity on planet Earth. Can we redirect it? Crap, it failed. Can we blow it up? Crap, it fails. So these are all the findings of that simulation, that every single effort that they used in their simulation in 2019 to redirect or to break apart an incoming asteroid failed. John, you were going to say something?
I was going to say this. So I think a lot of people are probably skeptical about what they're spending their money on, whether or not they're actually trying to fly into space and do all these different things. But to me, there seems to be an underlying reason that's not just asteroid related. That may be like the term they're using, but do you think that it's maybe something big different than an asteroid? I mean, you look at what people are saying about this through our Atlas. Some people are saying that they're astral projecting into this place, that there's entities involved. There's a book written by Tom Horn about Apophis. Wormwood seems to be possibly an entity in the Bible. So like, what are your thoughts on that? Could it possibly be not an asteroid, but actually like an entity that's coming to ship home? Because that seems to be like what almost all the other religions speak of, an entity coming down to make war or do something.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question because, you know, going back to your original question about what is Apophis and then its correlation to biblical wormwood is Apophis is actually an ancient Egyptological deity. It is a chaos serpent. It was a serpent demon of darkness and destruction and chaos. And the unique qualifier about the Egyptological deity of Apophis is that once it started, it could not be stopped or reversed. So it's interesting that the international space-based communities, and again, if you don't believe in outer space, I'm sorry, maybe this conversation is irrelevant because everything is actually based on space and space vehicles and different things like that. In fact, they just recently put up 60 spacecraft in order to coordinate with the different planetary defense initiative agencies, because this is how significant it is. On a side note, the European Space Agency just allotted $30 billion just for planetary defense against incoming asteroids. By the way, when we know and understand how small the European economy really is, that is a huge chunk of money for Europe, because European economy is incredibly small compared to the US. So back to Apophis, what's intriguing about Apophis as well too is it's actually one of the gods of Egypt that God specifically sent Moses to judge during the 10 plagues. Why is that relevant? When you look at the book of Revelation, it is the Exodus and the judgment of the gods of Egypt, and in Exodus is a type and shadow of what happens in the book of Revelation, which is why, again, at the end of Revelation, we sing the Song of Moses, because the Song of Moses was sung after the destruction of the gods. It wasn't about Pharaoh himself. It was actually about the ruling principalities in the land of Egypt that it says God specifically came to judge. That's why each one of the plagues is particular to a ruling principality and what they had power and control of, why God did the different plagues. So Apophis was one of the chief deities being judged at that time. Isn't it interesting that of all the names NASA or whatever, all the different space agencies could have came up with to name this impending astrological event is Apophis? I mean, that shouldn't be lost on anybody. And so, yeah, could it be? Absolutely, it could be related to aspects of a ruling principality or our spiritual wickedness in heavenly realms, right? Satan is the prince of the power of the airs. It absolutely could be. This is just total speculation. It's fine. It's all debatable. None of us will know till after the fact anyways, but I personally believe Three Eye Atlas is a feint maneuver to galvanize public support for different central planning efforts. That's what I believe Three Eye Atlas is being used for.
Do you also think there's any relation with the Hopi Indians talking about the Blue Kachina? Isn't the Blue Kachina, when you see the Blue Kachina, isn't that a prelude or a warning into Apophis coming?
100%. Not just that, you know, you can go, and I could dig into that ad nauseum, you know, the antediluvian and the historicity aspects of we'll say the winged planet or Gabriel's fist or Planet X or Nibiru. We can go, we have biblical texts that affirms these different things, you know, from there's the cyclical nature of different space bodies. Biblically, they all are affirmed astronomically when different celestial events were coming to catastrophism, whether it's, you know, the breaking forth of the waters of the deep in the days of Noah to the, you know, the vitrification of the sand over the face of the earth from airburst meteorological or astronomical airburst of asteroids and raining down sulfur and brimstone. That is all particular to space bodies breaking apart in earth. We have you know, the sun standing still and retrograding in the days of Joshua. We have the sign of Jonah that was seen over Nineveh. By all historical accounts, that was a winged planet space body that is tracked astronomically through all the different cultures and empires at the time. We have historical data that there was a giant astrological event, which is why those in Nineveh repented, because they physically, tangibly saw this thing and they have the historicity of it. You know, even down into Incan, Mayan, Aztec, you know, I mean, I was on an expedition where we discovered an astronomical observatory on the Incan Trail in the high Andes where they were tracking these different space bodies. So there is the cool accounting of that. And that's why when we look at the Bible, from this biblical worldview, the reason why it's prescient is because every single thing man can counterfeit and they can justify and they can poo-poo away. That's why God says he's gonna shake not only the earth, but also the heavens and the earth, so that which cannot be shaken will be left standing. It's gonna leave no doubt. So that's why, again, biblically, what's it say? The great men, the mighty men, the generals, they hide themselves in the rocks of the earth from the great and terrible day of the Lord and the wrath of the Lamb. They know who is doing it and where it's coming from, but they refuse to repent. And then we also have Obadiah 4:4, where God's speaking a rebuke against the elite. And he goes, though you set your nest among the stars, I'm going to bring you low for judgment. So they're going to try to go in the earth and they're going to try to get off earth because they know what's coming.
Which will be like coffin to them, right? Isn't that what it also says? It'll be like death coffins for them, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't say that particular, but they're going to cry out for the rocks to fall them because they know what's going on. So now this lends credence to the Zuckerberg interviews about his underground military bases and the Oprah and their underground military, and everybody's building like crazy. And then also they shut and sealed this Svalbard seed vault, which contains every species of heirloom seeds ever. This also gets into the mass consolidation of genetic data banks through 23andMe and genealogy.com and all that other stuff, because they're actually storing genetic arc too. This also gets into the rollout of the mRNA things to, because they're actually preparing for the radiological effects, the permutations on the DNA from the thinning of the magnetosphere secondary to the astrocatastrophism. And here's where all this comes together, is the depopulation agenda. Every single thing is tied into the macro of Apophis. We can't understand the last 20 to 30 years of our nuanced weird things without understanding the reality of the central planners of the world with regards to Apophis in particular. I mean, it is actually linked to everything, including the incessant push for World War III, the incessant push for sterilization and population reduction through different, social programs. In one aspect of depopulation, then you have sterilization, then you have the feminist movement. All these things are actually.
What does it matter if this thing's going to depopulate anyway? I mean, it's going to hit.
Because let me tell you why. Yeah, and this is what I didn't break into. It was because of the findings from the simulation that they ran. And everything has been dictated by those findings ever since then. It had the heads of JPL, JPL's NEO, Near Earth Objects. It had the Planetary Defense Coordination Office. It had FEMA's Response Operations Division. It had the European Space Agency's Planetary Defense Office. It had the International Academy of Aeronautics and Planetary Defense Conference of 2019. And here's what their findings were in this simulation. After they locked onto this asteroid and they can work the data, it's math, right? It's all math. And their number one finding, this is not me saying this, this is what they said, was the human chaos factor was a greater threat to the stability of the Earth and the progress of humanity, more so the asteroid's effect itself. So here's what they said. These are their findings. So think about since 2019 onward, and especially what occurred with the. Can we still say that word? I can't remember. What
yeah, said. I'll get it edited.
I think we're good without getting yeah. your video scrub. But here's what their findings were: was that they must have a centralized governing authority with supreme command and control of all communications. Think of the cancel culture, all technologies, all analysis and mitigation. And the management of all societal collapse with primary priority before it occurs, they needed to centralize all press and media to control the disclosure and dissemination of the impending event, meaning nobody can know until it's right at the door. Think of the movie Greenland. That's what we see in Greenland. And now they're getting ready to release Greenland too. This is also what we see in the predictive programming of the movie Don't Look Up. By the way, the movie Don't Look Up with all those A-listers, the script was vetted by the, what's the name of that agency? It's a very particular agency. Planetary Defense Coordination Office vetted the script 2 years before they released the movie, after they got all their data in from Apophis. And Greenland came out right after that. So the Planetary Defense Initiative is vetting the scripts for these predictive programmings to come out, where they don't tell anybody what's going to happen until it's right at the door because of these findings. Okay, let me continue through these findings from their simulation. They had to manage any premature announcements that would result in systemic panic, because it would shut down critical infrastructure that they need to use for building arcs. Literally, for the elite and for continuity of government operations. Food, water, shelter, security, and relocation protocols had to be in place before any announcement of what was going to happen. And they had to compromise, they had compartmentalization of all information flows was their most crucial aspect. Because they said the power is going to be gone, communication is going to be gone, mobility, sea, air, and land would be gone, fresh water supplies are going to be gone, relief efforts are non-existent, there is no relief efforts coming, sustainable food production is gone. Therefore, the human chaos factor was the most dangerous threat. Therefore, you cannot tell anybody before it happens. So let me get into this is speculation. And I know we don't have time. This is a shorter show today. But I mean, I've read into all these white papers. There's so many of these different planetary defense agencies out there doing stuff. So here was their conclusion. Then I'm going to give you my speculation. Their conclusion was there was too many people to deal with. No, there is no stopping the outcome. All attempts to avert the asteroid impact failed. All diversion attempts failed. All nuclear detonations failed, and they couldn't control it. And their findings were there would be too many people to deal with to evacuate. Okay, now that was their finding in 2019. Then you have Event 201. Then you have the incessant push for World War III. Then you have the consolidation of all supply and supply chains into the major groups. Then you have the rollout of AI and humanoid mechanisms for replacement of mass population, depopulation strategies. Then you have the sealing of the Salvard seed vault. Then you have the mass push, as Catherine Austin Fitz put out, $21 trillion of black budget money being used for deep underground military bases in mass. This is not just the U.S. This is every major government in the world is doing the exact same thing at the same time. Then you have the stand up of Space Force. Then you have the stand up of planetary defense initiatives. Then you have 3I. And I mean, I can keep going and going and going.
So why am I sober? I mean, that's a real question. Like, okay, I'm just going to enjoy myself for the next few years. There's no way out of this.
Yeah. Well, and so this is why it gives you the context for the why. So then it even gives you the context for why the letdown of all the borders. Why are they doing that? Or how about the monetary spending, like $38 trillion in debt? Because they don't care. This gets into the Great Reset. All of it, the digital currency, because they know it's literally all coming to an end, and they are stacking the deck for a complete restructuring of the global order.
So not this yet. Is the real event horizon.
It actually is. And by the way, the scientific community, the military industrial complex, the intel community, and the policy making central planners, not all of them, but the majority of them, they all know why it's coming. So there's a reason why when you see them like using different social heartstringy things to roll out other aspects and consolidate more governmental control, consolidate supply chains, consolidate information flows, all that, even securing Washington, D.C. with all their fencing and blah, blah, and the borders, and also the letdown of the borders, now the re-implement, all of it is born out from what these central planners have worked out through their simulations of the imminency of the effects of the asteroid on the U.S. And then, okay, then we can break into all the Earth changes that have been happening for the last 5 years.
Well, let me just add to that for a second, because I heard the Earth changes was from a supernova explosion in distant galaxy or within our galaxy, supernova constellation, or a supernova Betelgeuse, I think it was called, where we're being bombarded right now with gamma rays. And that is why we're seeing all these rapid Earth changes. And we're going to see a lot more as we get bombarded more and more with these. Is it not that? Is it because this asteroid's coming and the mass itself is causing this stuff as it approaches?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. So it's not necessarily related to the supernova, but it's related to the perturbances on the space bodies and the different planetary bodies.
How big is this thing? How big is this thing that's coming?
It's the size of the Eiffel Tower, to put it in the context.
And that's big enough to cause disturbances on our planet already?
Because what it causes disturbances on is the effects of the sun. So you have the CMEs and the solar storms. And then secondary to that, that has effects on the magnetosphere and the magnetopause. And then as that changes, what that does is it actually affects the core of the Earth and crustal plate displacement. And then you get your volcanism, and then you get the superheating because of the different particle radiations. Has everybody seen all the news headlines about the Mediterranean being like as hot as bathtub water, and it's jacking up the hydro conveyors, which is jacking up the atmospheric rivers, which is creating superstorms, which is why we're getting these different deluges. It's actually created changes in the core of the earth, which, you know, affects everything else from there on out. So it is all the earth changes are secondary to the effects of this space body on the sun. And so then we can get into the book of Revelation and what it actually lays out for us in particular. It details.
But is it going to have a direct hit with Earth? Is it going to have a direct impact, or is it just going to be debris from the tail that hits us and it's just going to come really close?
Biblically speaking, it's debris. So it talks about
I want to read just part of Revelation 9, because I think this is what you're talking about here. But if you read Revelation 9, it talks about stars falling to heaven. You have a fifth angel sounds the trumpet. You have a star that falls to heaven. Something interesting, because you guys are talking about the asteroids and what they look like. I don't believe they can see them. I think that they say they can, but even the three-eye atlas thing, like you get different pictures from different people. There's one guy that actually honed in on it, but there's like all of these like fake ideas about what it may be. And I'm not saying they don't know, but I will say that in the Bible, like and you have two stars that fall, right? You have the star that falls that opens the bottomless pit. And then you have the wormwood that causes like one third of the whole entire population to die because the waters, because you were talking about the waters, because the waters are made bitter. And like that word wormwood means Chernobyl in Ukraine. That word means wormwood. So we're talking about something much greater, in my opinion, than just a rock coming to hit the world. I mean, we're talking about the waters being made bitter. We're talking about smoke coming out of the pit and locusts and all these crazy things. I mean, we're talking about some catastrophic, mind-blowing event that's going to cause people's hearts to fail them, at least according to what I'm reading here in the Bible.
Yeah. And that is, and so just, you know, as a paraphrasing Cliff Notes synopsis, is it talks about a third of the trees, a third of the grass, a third of the ships, a third of the fish of the sea, burned with fire, destroyed. Then you have these preceding events. It's like ripened figs being shaken from a tree, falling from the heavens, stars falling from the mountains, 70-pound hailstones mixed with fire falling from the heavens, all these different aspects. Then you have the greatest earthquakes the world has ever seen. They've never seen them before. The roaring of the seas and the waves. It talks about people trying to hide themselves from the heat of the sun. Remember when that magnetosphere gets thinned or disruptive, now you're getting straight solar radiation. Straight solar radiation is what initiates earthquakes. That's why people are always watching the geomagnetic storms to know, as a predictor of when the next big earthquakes and tsunamis are going to occur. So it's actually all interconnected. And what's funny is, not funny, that's a wrong word, but when you're
reading, might as well laugh rather than cry.
Yeah. What they say, this is the scientific community, and they hate God, right? Typically, not all of them, but most of them, or they just have no regard for him. They say when Apophis comes by, Apophis itself isn't going to hit us, but it has multi-million mile debris trails. And it says,
multi-million miles
debris trails.
Yes. So this could hit us for years upon, or decades upon decades upon decades.
It's width and length is the tails. That's always, this isn't unique to Apophis. This happens with other space bodies that have come through. They can even trace things back to different plagues or whatever. And again, this gets into plagues come with it because there's unique particles that our bodies don't have the antibodies to that are contained within this. And then all the other, in particular, the sulfuric reactions with the crustal plate displacement and things that poison all the aquifers and the underground aquifers or causes aquifer collapses. Then you have, again, that superheating of the oceans when the magnetosphere gets thinned by these things, which kills off the food chains within our big oceans and blah, blah, blah. So when you read the scientific data on this, it reads identical to what the Bible says is going to happen. Identical what they say. And here's what's interesting. They say when the earth, depending on where it's at on its axial tilt, rotation, blah, 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 when it goes through the debris trail of this Apophis, or another space body, whatever it may be, maybe it's not Apophis, is that it's like a third of the Earth gets shot with birdshot from a shotgun. That's what they say. One third of the Earth would look like the whole third gets just splattered with the debris trail from these things. And they talk about the fires, the forest fires, the gas line disruptions from the crustal plate displacement, the super fires that get created, that create their own environmental systems, and then the hydro conveyors being jacked up, and then which creates things in the atmosphere with the atmospheric river, which then brings about widespread famine and pestilence. This is what they say. And they're like, and then what it would require is a centralized global governing body to restructure. And they say it can only, that there must be a unified, centralized global governing body. And that's why you're starting to put in place.
Order. So when do these people plan to resurface? How long do they need to wait it out?
I don't know. I've never seen anything like that as far as waiting it out. My perception is on it is that there's not necessarily like a waiting out period. It's not necessarily like you're by Chernobyl. Speaking of Wormwood, yeah, Chernobyl does mean Wormwood. That you're by, you know, some radiologically contaminated area where you have to wait till the half life of the isotopes decay or whatever. This is just like it is Greenland. I mean, go watch Greenland. Go watch Don't Look Up. But like, they show you what's gonna happen, and it's interesting that they're getting ready to roll out Greenland too. You know, and so that's why there's these nuanced things that have been occurring, in particular, the last 10 years. But really, if you think about it, since Trump's first administration and then his 4-year break and now this resurgence, there's a consolidation of everything you can imagine about. And if you really can filter through data, it's actually based on the not replacement, but the augmentation of humanity through AI, humanoid robots, and centralization of all things. It's all about centralizing. This is why the cancel culture came up and the whatever came up. And now they're saying that, the White House press can't release anything unless it's approved by the DOD. By the way, Trump in the last 6 months shut down numerous satellites from NASA and from NOAA for data sharing on Earth changes. They are not allowed to share any data, satellite data anymore, with the universities and the academic and even the meteorological community about what's happening to the Earth. They blacked them out. They blacked out the satellites under Trump's orders, and they're saying it was because of the government shutdown. Again, that's why like you have to pay attention to the macro to understand why all these strange things that are seemingly differentiated are occurring. They are not. They are all. There is a unity of effort in ways we can't even understand. And again, going into the nationalization of the National Guard, this hyper hiring of federal law enforcement troops, this pushing out a National Guard into all the major cities, the central planners know what's coming. That's the bottom line.
So, do you think the flat Earth theories that are running rampant all over the internet, those are all psyops to deter people from looking up and even taking this as credible? I mean,
yeah, I don't know. I don't want to get into that. Flat Earth is as touchy as a subject as Trump is for people. I don't know why.
So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people who believe that, you know, and a lot, you know. But what's your thoughts on that? Do you think that's a psyop and that's just hurting the people
in certain directions so they don't look up and see this kind of thing? Yeah, I'll tell you my perspective, and then you can have all the nasty grammars in the world sending you and me emails and commenting on the video.
Hey, I'll speak to the other side because I'm not a flat earther, but I do have a lot of flat earth followers. So like, sure. I'll speak to the other side of it, but like, I'm interested in hearing what you have to say. Okay. I definitely don't believe like I know everything for sure, especially about space.
That's me too. I go, okay, this is where I lean and I could be wrong. And guess what? Nobody knows unless you've been to space. I know even the Dude Perfect Bros said it's not flat, right? They did their little thing where they sent one of their guys up. But I went to Naval Special Warfare School. So that's, you know, SEAL based Naval Special Warfare School, field expedient antennas. I was trained on how we have to utilize the ionosphere in order to bounce our comms around the curvature of the earth, long range shooting, precision shooting. We have to take into account different aspects of that. I know missileers. Those are our nuclear terrestrial based missile personnel for our, you know, intercontinental ballistic missiles. Everything's based on the curvature of the earth. One of my best friends who I talk to regularly works within the aeronautics tech industry, designing rovers and vehicles for off-earth exploration. He's described to me the math that they use to have to account for all the different gravitational pulls and the curvatures and the orbital nature of different things like that. And this, you know, I can't vet this, but I have a good friend whose uncle was part of the Solar Warden program. Whether you believe that or not, that's okay. And so there's a lot of off Earth based stuff. And then I also know people in the other intelligence communities, NSA, MARSOC, JSOC, SOCOM, and everything is based off of the curvature of the earth and how we interact with these things. And so I understand the evidence for flat earth. I understand the firmament and the four pillars and the four corners and blah, blah. I understand how they're arriving at that conclusion, but I also think that,
you're taking the Bible literally with the revelations. Doesn't flat earth support the Bible? I mean, doesn't the Bible support the flat earth, or is that not, in your mind, not true at all?
I think there's some intellectual leaps that are being made.
I'm not a flat earther, by the way. I'm saying I don't know. I just don't know. I think there's some intellectual leaps.
There's intellectual leaps that are made at times. So, you know, and again, I go, at the end of the day, here's the bottom line is I don't care. I just can't believe I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, and that he forgives my sins. That's enough for me. I don't pre-trib rapture, post-trib rapture, flat earth, round earth. All those are actually part and parcel to distractions in the spirit of the age, which is that they'll be proud, boastful, arrogant, treacherous, rash, full of conceit, not lovers of good, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And it actually says in particular, they'll devote themselves to mythos and endless genealogies, and they'll always be learning, but never able to come to an understanding of the truth. So my perspective is, in particular, right or wrong, who's right or wrong, it doesn't matter. It is a mass divide and conquer disinformation campaign from every angle possible so that Christians are that much more ripe for the great deception. That's my synopsis on it all.
Yeah, it's interesting, man. I just had a guy over here last night. He's special ops dude, but he was in weapons and stuff. And it's weird because the people I've talked to that you say and are saying that what you say, I've talked to people that say the exact opposite, that are weapons people, all of these different things, even pilots, they're saying, yeah, on paper, they say you have to, like Coriolis effect and all that, but there's actually, you don't account for that in real life. But whether or not that's true or not matters, like you said, very little, because there are people that will divide over this in a huge way. And on top of that, like they make it to be like it is the only thing that matters with flat earth. That's the reason I'm not involved in the flat earth stuff anymore, because I actually produced a documentary about flat earth and it was so divisive. I feel like it split like half the audience, and like it took away the whole idea of what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about Christ. And like he says in the Bible, I used to believe like the Bible for sure, it's talking about a flat earth. And if you believe any different, then you're a heretic. But then I'm like, okay, hold on. Let me look at this again. Let me read it. And then I'm like, okay, I can see how maybe I took that leap and I thought like, that's for sure what that means. Like that has to mean that. But then I'm thinking, okay, can it mean anything else? And that's the error that I think I've been in a lot of times in my life. And a lot of people have, it's like, you come to conclusions because that's the only conclusions you can think of.
Right.
But really there are like 50 other conclusions that could be the truth, you know? So
I agree. And that's why I look at like God's rebuke to Job. And it should be the open rebuke and admonishment to all of us is like, where were you at, bro? I'm paraphrasing the book of Job. Yeah. What do you know, bro? I'm God. You're not. And so the simplicity of it should be like, I don't know. He's God. I'm not. Here's what I do know is Christ Jesus forgave my sins. And if you notice, the apostles weren't concerned about the shape of the earth, and they weren't concerned about it. They were concerned about the redemption, the forgiveness of sins through the sufficiency of Christ Jesus. That was the centrality. All these other, they're intriguing. They're interesting. Nephilim and giants and Rephaim and antediluvian age and the historicity and pre-Adamic races and blah, blah, blah. And the different perspectives on rapture, the different perspectives on cosmology. These things are all fascinating. By the way, they've been debated for 4,000 years and still nobody has the right answer. So why is it people watch a 15-minute YouTube video and all of a sudden they're a master theologian and they finally figured out the mind of God? Like a 15-minute YouTube video and you finally mastered the mind of God. I just go, I don't know. I lean this way. This is typically how I communicate. I say, I lean this way, but I could be wrong. And I'm not worried about that. Let's talk about what we do know. You know, like,
right.
That doesn't matter. I could be wrong.
So when will they pop it on us? When do you think they're going to say, all right, we're in trouble? Will they ever? Won't. They'll never. No. It's just going to. So in other words, holy cow, that means nobody will ever know until this damn thing hits us, erases by us, and we suffer the effects, the ramifications from it. Nobody's going to know. Nobody's going to know. It's going to leak out. I mean, it's leaking out right now.
It is, but not enough. You know, the central planners, I use central planners rather than global elite because they are central planners. By the way, let me make this caveat because this will freak people out that I'm saying this. They actually are altruistic. They might be misguided and they might be deceived, but they actually believe when you talk to these people, or maybe you're probably never going to talk to people at that level in the scientific community, but when you read what they write, they actually believe what they're doing is altruistic and benevolent for the survivability of the species, including mass depopulation. They actually believe that because they run these simulations, they do the findings above, and they go, oh my goodness. Okay. What their findings were. And again, I know we're running out of time already today because there's so much to dig into and this to affirm the data, but it was that they couldn't relocate the people. There's too many people. They want to. They try to. In the simulations, they can't do it. So guess what their finding was? There's too many people to deal with to be able to rightly protect them. So depopulate first. Then we actually have a viable.
Oh, man. That makes a lot of sense. Species. That makes a lot of sense to me.
So even believe it or not, believe me, I'm not defending Bill Gates. I'm just saying from their deluded, Luciferian-based, deceived minds, they believe they are doing what is best. It's the Nimrodian arrogance. It's their apotheosis, their egotheism, that they believe that they are like gods. And actually, not only can they defend against this astrocatastrophism, they believe that they can advance the self-directed evolutionary process of the species and the survivability of these species. It is high Luciferian arrogance. They believe they can defeat it, they can defend against it, and they can steer humanity for their good, right? Like this is what this is their perspective. So very few of them are like, I just hate the created image of God and I want to rip it all apart. Some at the very, very top, that's their perspective. But in the scientific community, it's just Nimrodian arrogance. It's like, we can do this thing. And what's it say about Nimrod? In the days of Nimrod and the Tower of Babel, nothing would be impossible for them. So when people deny space and space-based and we can't get even off space, it's all low Earth orbit, we've never even broken through, watch the missiles, they bounce off the firmament and all that. They are actually openly rejecting what God has already affirmed, that literally nothing would be impossible for us. So yes, I do believe in space-based technologies, in different time-space manipulations for a different degree, anti-gravitic propulsion, space jumping and all these different things. I've actually talked to a guy. Can I vet it? No, I didn't space jump with him, but has shared with me in person about space jumping and different things like that and off Earth bases. So when I look at it biblically, I can look at it historically through the Vedic texts and the Sanskrit and the Vimana and the blah, blah, and different high technologies, pre-flood technologies, even mythos within, we'll say, the Atlantean age or Lemuria or Tartaria and all these different things is like, I'm like, not only can we do those things, they had done it before, which is why God flooded the earth. They had done it before, which is God struck them down at the Tower of Babel. Like, they've done it before. So I think our technological competencies and capabilities are beyond comprehension. I mean, I recently met with, I'll call them a task force of guys that are working at the federal level on the UAP USO stuff. And also within the psionic world of dog whistling in these craft and working with hybridization. Like, I met with these guys in person just recently. Some of the names you would know, everybody would know them because they're on these top tier whistleblower congressional hearings guys. I met with them and they talk about it like it's normal. They're like, it's just the normal populace can't accept what we're actually capable of. So we can't tell them what we're capable of. And so when I look at them doing these planetary defense initiatives, I go 100%, 100%. That's what's going on. And that's also why 100% what's going on is this incessant push for a limited nuclear exchange for a mass global depopulation as rapidly as possible, but controlled. It's got to be a controlled thing because they need infrastructure. You need rare earth minerals. You need people. You need engineers. You need dirt work guys. You need excavators. You need concrete. You need electrical engineers that are running all the wires and all the sanitation aspects within the deep underground military bases. You need people. You just don't need all the people. So now you roll out AI, you roll out humanoid stuff, you roll out whatever. Now I have the capability for justification for a large-scale controlled depopulation, and my Hegelian dialectic, I've already am ready for a restructuring and consolidation of governments. Why? For the order? Sure. But actually because of God's judgment coming on the earth, and they all know it's coming and when it's coming.
This is very sobering. I'm going to let my audience decide, folks. You decide. I laid out for you all to play it out. I'm actually shook by this. I think there's a lot here. I think there's a lot of substance here, and I tend to believe this is coming. I don't know about you, John. How do you feel about it?
I mean, I think it's definitely coming. I think that we can give definitions to what we think it is and what other people say it is. But the Bible, to me, like, is legitimately says something like this is coming, and I think that there's been people write about it and talk about it for a long time now, like Jamie's saying. So I do believe it's coming. Whether or not it's going to look exactly how the, quote unquote experts say,
right,
is a whole different thing. But I do believe that whatever the Bible says, it seems like it's lining up with what the experts say. So yeah, I believe it, man. It's just shocking. You know,
I think the only thing I really take away from this is, got to be right spiritually. That's all of it.
The conclusion. Right there. Yeah.
I've had a good life, a long life, and I've accepted Jesus Christ as my savior. So wherever this goes, man.
Hey, when the smoke clears, we'll be here, right?
I can't stop it. So
yeah.
Those that are not good spiritually are the ones that are going to be going underground.
They are
trying to save their lives.
And that's why it is crucial to be rooted in Christ. You know, it says we're not of those, blessed are those who fear the Lord, who take great delight in his commands. You know, it says they are not easily shaken. They have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trust in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They have no fear. And so, it literally says they have no fear of bad news. And notice in Luke 21, it says, when you begin to see all these things, and it's talking about all the earth changes and then the governmental responses to the earth changes. That's the context. And it says to those who are in Christ, when you begin to see all these things, you don't hide yourself in the earth like the unhinged humanity. It says you stand up and you look up because your redemption draws nigh. You're so secure in the Lord. You're like, I know exactly what's coming. And my God is sovereign. Nothing is out of order. My God is so sovereign. And actually, the astrocatastrophism is God's last great act of mercy and grace. So you can't blame it on climate change. You can't blame it on HAARP. You can't blame it on chemtrailing. You can't blame it on directed energy weapons causing the blame. See, all those have been put in place so that you'll never acknowledge God. You'll never acknowledge that God is trying to get your attention. So he goes to the nth degree because of grace and mercy and loving kindness. That's why it's only a third, only a third, only a third, a third, a third, a third, because of mercy and kindness and grace. It says God takes no delight even in the destruction of the wicked. It says he's patient with everyone, wanting no one to perish. He's slow in fulfilling his promises because he doesn't want you to perish. He's like, I will literally rearrange the celestial host. Why do you think the Antichrist has to change the dates and times? He has to change the dates and times because everything's jacked up. Literally, it's nothing's working the way it should anymore, even with regards to the cyclical nature of our earth sciences and the patterns and the stars and where the sun and the moon should be. And a third of the sun is darkened, a third of the moon is darkened. But like everything is jacked up, and God is like, I am kind, I am sovereign, I'm also just, I won't be mocked, but I'm actually trying to get your attention so that you would look up and put your hope in my son, Jesus Christ. But notice the response of the elite throughout the book of Revelation. They shake their fist at the heavens, and it says over and over and over again that they refuse to repent no matter what he does.
Well, guys, I think this has been epic. It's another epic podcast with both you gentlemen. I got to check out of my room right now before they come knocking. So I appreciate everything, John. Let's do another one together. Yes. Jamie, you too, man. I mean, you go by Jamie or Jaime? No, just kidding.
Both, actually. My wife's Mexican, so everybody calls me Jaime.
Right, I'll call you Jaimito. All right. So I appreciate you both gentlemen coming on. This has been sobering, folks. What are you going to do with your time left over? Get right with Jesus. That's the way I see it. All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining me. God bless you both. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me on.